Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are continuing our discussion on the dichotomy of the inner voice, and I think getting more into the idea of the higher self and what that means after the body has expired. So we are, of course, taking calls today. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We invite you to join us here on Blog Talk Radio as well as on Facebook and on Twitter. All those sites can be found via our link on our Blog Talk Radio homepage. So do join us. We would love to hear from you. And I'm posting this show here. What else? That's it, I guess. We can get right into it.
Yeah, the higher self. In terms of
there's the lower self.
Yeah. Our cat is
wanting to go outside.
Complaining. The higher self. There's two aspects to the higher self. Of course, the work that's done on the planet, and when we are talking specifically about the higher self, we're trying to exclude it from the ego. Because the ego can still do great things, write great books, compose great music, star in great movies, build buildings, create businesses, and all of it can be also not only for the ego, but for the welfare of others, for the entertainment of others, for the helping others. That's a level of energy in terms of the higher self. But when we really are discussing the purity of the higher self, we have to get into an area of thought that is very difficult for any human being to comprehend, most human beings to comprehend, and that's life without ego. Because the ego, it can encompass things that seem to be spiritual, but without the ego involved, if you're talking about the higher self, you're talking about specifically your soul and spirit and how you're going to hand that over to whatever you call it, God, the universe.
Sorry to interrupt, but we express ourselves through our ego, no matter if it's a lower expression. Or, and that includes creativity. I mean, even though lower people might take offense at because, when considering high of art and all these things, deeming it lower might seem unfair, but really it's the lower self. While we're in the body, we are expressing ourselves through the ego. So even if we're doing higher work and not considering the lower self, it's still
not through the ego. There is a level of consciousness that does not involve the ego. And that is when you specifically release all thoughts about the earth, all ambitions, all interests, all desires, all goals. And you have a clean and clear dialogue to God regarding the very essence of your soul. Now, they can involve earthbound things like love, compassion, concern for others. But this is not really the pure definition of ego. this is outside of the ego. It may be a thought form, your love for others, your compassion for others, your help for others, but it has nothing to do with the identity of the ego in terms of a personal accomplishment. It's a spirit energy, and that spirit energy is infused with love and compassion and concern. But you have to understand, it has nothing really to do with the ego. There's no ego content involved. And the purity of the essence of this higher self is that everything is released to God, that really everything one does is for God's acceptance.
This should be energy. Sinking in, Olive. Yeah. Listen very carefully.
She's complaining.
She's probably the whiniest cat I've ever had. She whines and groans more than any cat. She's wonderful. But
very expressive, though.
I've had other cats that talk. We have a caller, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we can get to the caller and then
continue our discussion.
About this definition of the higher self devoid of ego.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Kristen. How are you, love? Hi, Neil.
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good.
Sounds like you're in your car.
Yes, I am. I was rolling up the window, but it's funny that you would be saying what you're saying, Neil, because I was just dealing with that very idea in my thoughts, like to move my ego out the way and really tap into my higher self, because the ego is a very, very tricky thing. And sometimes it's difficult to recognize when your ego is operating. Because your ego could have you in trouble or in turmoil or in conflict. It could really misguide you.
Yeah, you're right, Jackie, and I appreciate your thoughts. It is a tricky thing. It's so hard for the mind to grasp how to separate yourself from your ego, because most people ultimately get tripped up in falling back into the ego when they're thinking about the higher self. So it is. And it's not just a form of sacrifice, like, oh, I love my kids. I sacrifice for my kids. It's not even that. The higher purpose of energy that I think is has a clarity between one's own dialogue with God in terms of that higher aspect of what love is, without considering aspects of the planet and desires and things like this. But I think the way you're struggling with the definition in your own mind and recognizing it, I can see that you have this thought that can see probably of what this higher self is. So, you know, thank you for sharing that. At least the struggle, it is a struggle, trying to define it.
Yes.
Without any kind of polluted thought about the ego. This
very difficult. The ego has everything to do with pride, you know. That's how I recognize my ego is always with pride. And my lessons pride versus humility has been, you know, pride could be very detrimental at times.
Yeah. Were you going to say something?
Well, I mean, as I was saying earlier in the conversation before Jackie came on, it's about, and of course the higher self is separate from the ego, but as humans we have to filter through the ego. That's the vehicle through which we express ourselves. So whether we're going to express ourselves on a lower level or a higher level is still involved in the ego. It's still involved in the ego. So if there's humility that she is opting to express, that's being expressed through the ego. It's still the ego. It's how the ego is expressed, not that the ego is a bad thing. So that's the misconception, common misconception, that the ego is a bad thing. It's not. It's how it's actualized. But anyway, did you have a question, Jackie?
Yeah. I feel a shift, and I'm just trying to understand it.
A shift?
More.
Yeah, you're having a change. I mean, you're going through a change. 56 is a change for you. It's also your inverted year, but
what's your birthday?
1565. But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. 54, rather.
All right.
54. You're 54. It's not your inverted year, but you're 54 years old. The doubling of your 27. Correct.
Which I never fully I never fully understood the 27. Besides, it's 9, and I know I have a life path of 9. I'm not sure how you derived that number. I always wanted to ask you that.
Oh.
But there's some things that I want to piece the puzzle together. I got like the edges here and there. I want to piece a whole bunch of pieces together, and I feel with the spring coming on, with the change that I'm feeling inside, I feel like it's going to happen. I just don't know when, and I just want to see what's in the chart so that I could do it.
Well, first of all, Jackie, how you were wondering how 27 is reached, that number 27? So everything in your birth date is added up. 1 plus 5 is 6. Then when you cross over into the century, that 19, I mean, it's 6 plus 1 plus 9 plus 6 plus 5. So that equals 27. And it's actually, I mean, we call it a master number. Some people call it life paths. But the single digit number, 1 through 9, is what we deem a master number. So then that number, that karmic number, 27, is reduced to a 9. Which gives you your master number. And of course, you're on a cycle of 9 too, aren't you? Right now?
Well.
So, do you see how I did that?
Yeah, I'm going to go back in the archive and listen to it. So, the 27 is my karmic number.
27 is your karmic number. So, I don't know if I'm sure we talked to you.
And my life path is a 9.
We call it, like I said, a master number, not a life path. It's a master number.
Okay.
A life path is, the problem with the term life path is it is very general. So it generalizes that number into a specific path. Well, 9s do this and 3s do that. It's not a life path. It's a master number, and it's the umbrella of which all your other number systems are placed. So, you know, thereby it's very individual, even though there's only 9 master numbers. It's all under the, all the other numbers are considered in that 9. And of course the vibration of the person. But we've talked to you for many years, but I don't remember what happened at 27. I'm sure we asked you that a long time ago. What happened at the age of 27?
I really, really can't. What year was that? I have to go back and see that
year.
It
would have been 1992, I think. 1992?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it a good thing or a bad thing?
It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, what do you tell us? I don't know. Maybe we should be telling you.
Well, 90, no. That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, because when you ask what happened at certain time, I'm always wondering, was it something traumatic? I don't recall anything traumatic. I just know that I was on the verge of graduating college. I joined a sorority. I was getting ready to go into a whole nother era. I wanted to go to law school, and I got disappointed with that. I made the decision to settle down and get married before I was able to finish my goals. That's the only thing off the top of my mind that I could think of at this moment. Like, I settled.
You decided not to go to law school. That's, and so you were graduating college that year, but you decided not to go to law. At 27, you were graduating college?
Because I went back to school late.
Okay.
Your degree was in law?
Yeah.
My degree was in business, but I wanted to go to law school. I took the LSATs, but I wasn't prepared for it. And then I just, like, put it down. And that has always been the thing that I always wanted to do, and I never got a chance to pick it back up.
How old were you when you got married?
That's the only thing that I could think.
How old were you when you got married?
I got married like about maybe 6 or 7 months after that. I was like 28.
6 or 7 months after you graduated. So, and you're born at the beginning of the year, but that's still, I mean, you got married.
You were getting married, getting ready to be married at 27. How long did your marriage last?
I'm still married.
Oh, you're still married. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm still with him.
Oh, okay.
So that's, and interesting because, so you've been married 27 years.
Yes.
Hold on, 26, 27?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another significant. So anyway, we got to get back to your question. And 727 area code, we see you there. We're going to be getting to your call in just a moment.
And like my husband, the thing is with my husband, I love my husband dearly, but he's not the go-getter and the confident person like I am. He's the workaholic, and he's the my strong pillar. I lean on him for, we balance each other in different ways, but
what
I know I could have, what is
his birthday?
4/5/1962.
That's your broken 9/4/5/1962. And your years are
same
interchangeable.
Number.
Are they 9/19? Yeah. Interesting.
You and your husband are the same karmic and master number. And there are some similar things going on in your birth date. So
but he would have had a change. He would have had a change in 1989.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to move
same
on.
Same fire number.
We
have to ask her. We have to answer her question.
Oh. He did have a change in 1989. It's funny that you would say that. That's
about the time
when I was meeting him.
What happened?
That was about the time when I was meeting him. Just about to meet him. Yes.
All
yes.
right. Okay. So your question, you're trying to. What do you?
We're
what
trying
you
to
say?
Move forward. We're trying to move forward. I have a puzzle that I'm seeing everything that's going on in my life right now as a puzzle, and I have a beautiful masterpiece that I want to put together. Okay. Everything that I need to pull together, I feel like I have to begin getting it done now. I'm just trying to figure out how. So I want to see what's in my chart that would help me so that I could, you know, be self-directed. Because up until now, everything that I want to do or I need to get done, it's like I keep having these delays plus distractions with work and everything else. Like it's
just a real quick question, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly, are you planning on staying at the school or are you planning on going into corporate teaching like you were discussing with us?
Once I move and I get settled at home, I'm planning on leaving. I'm just staying where I'm at right now because, you know, just because of finances. I really feel like I really need to step back out because I'm stifled in this.
Okay. So here's, if you're talking about this earthly walk and what you need to be doing right now. What you need to be doing, and you're in business, and you can listen to the archives. Your number is 1/5 in your first two numbers. That becomes a 6, but that also becomes revisualized as 6 and 5 in terms of those two numbers being in your month and day. 1 and 5 is 6, and now visualize that 6. Along with your day, 5/65, that's in your year. Your year also has a 6 and 5 in it with a difference of 1. So you have a 5/1 in there in your year. You can listen to the archives after. So you have a 1/5 in your year. That signifies your month and day. What you need to be doing right now is actualizing your vision. If you're not actualizing your vision and putting it into concrete form, and you're finding all these ways to excuse yourself from doing so, you're in trouble. What you need to do is put down in solid form what you're trying to visualize, and then implement your program step by step. But if you're getting caught up and getting all confused or finding ways to get stumbled, you're not succeeding. Actualize what you're visualizing, whatever this project is of yours, and it could be coming down into a written form. Maybe you have to see it on paper first,
mm-hmm.
but that's what you're doing
usually
right now.
You have
now.
To write it out. Okay.
Then that's
okay.
what you need to do, Jack. You're the kind of person that needs to see it. So write down on a piece of paper what your plans are, outline them, and then implement them. That's our advice as we speak, okay?
Okay.
The details of what you want to do, like in 30 seconds, before we get to the other caller, don't leave us. What is it you want to do, 30 seconds or less?
I want to move my family into my 9 home, and I want to be able to focus and do my business plan and make the step to.
No, yeah. What is your business plan? 30 seconds. Your business plan. 30
I,
seconds.
I'm going to start a business importing and exporting, and you know I'm looking for multiple streams of income besides of what I've been doing as a teacher. I'm ready
okay,
to
well,
just,
you outline you. We got to get moving. You outline your business. Outline how you're going to implement this. Don't worry about perfection. Just start to outline it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's what you need to do first, and then keep us abreast of your progress. But that's what you need to do first if you haven't done so.
Okay.
Okay, Jackie.
It's all in my head. But thank you. I like to continue to listen. Thank you for breaking down number 27 to me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'll definitely go back and listen in archives.
Definitely do that. Okay, Jackie. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, 727. Hello.
727. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm still here.
Thanks for waiting.
I want to know about my job. I've been here for a long time, and I want to know if I'm going to move up in the company or there are going to be changes.
Okay. And what is your name?
Shante.
Shante, we've spoken with you before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When did we speak with you last?
My last time I talked to you, I talked about a relationship. And
yeah.
You were telling me.
I
remember.
I'm having a vague memory. I'm not sure I'm connecting the right person. But anyway, I don't know. Okay, what's your birth date?
March
3rd, 1974. 1974. 27/9. The number of the day. Okay, and you're wondering if you're going to move up in the company. Are you the person who like wanted to be an actor when you were young?
No, I was the one you spoke to when you was asking me a lot of questions. I'm the one with the children, and I was homeless at 1 year or another.
You have children. You were homeless.
Yeah, you were asking me about a certain year, 2001, and it kind of hit me hard because that was the worst year ever. And you was like, you know, but we was on a relationship thing at the time. I wasn't asking about career.
Yeah, so you were homeless, and when was this? When were you homeless recently? Obviously, we spoke with you at that time.
2001.
Oh, you were homeless in 2001. But what were you, what was the problem with the children? Was there a problem with custody or something with your kids?
No. I never had a problem with custody.
Hey, I don't remember. I mean, I remember you, but I don't remember the details, obviously, because I'm searching. So
it was a while back. Our reading was a while back.
Okay. All right. And so you're wondering about your job, whether you're going to move up in the company or not.
Yeah, I've been there for a long time, and I don't know if I'm going to retire there or move up in the company. I don't know if there's going to be changes. I just want to know.
And when did you start working there?
2005.
Mm-hmm. So that was 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
14 years ago. Hmm. And what kind of work do you do?
I am a dietitian.
Dietitian?
Well, actually, a dietary clerk, actually. I do the charting, the computer work.
For what kind of facility?
I'm nursing.
Nursing. But it's like, is it just a regular hospital or is it specialized?
It's a specialized. It's for disabilities and people with dementia and, you know, it's like a rehab almost.
Rehab. Mm-hmm. And you want to move up in that job? or leave.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be there, you know, till I retire, or am I going to move up in the company. You know, I get a lot of good reviews, but I don't know if I'm going to move up or there are going to be changes at my job.
Well, you've been there 14 years, and according to your master's work, you could have another 4 years there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, you're starting, you'd have to have starting to have direct dialogue with the people in power that might be able to find a way to help you gain a higher income. You know, do something with your income, you get good reviews, but if you're looking for either, I would think, Shante, that you would want a higher income as opposed
mm-hmm.
to just getting a higher position without a higher
right.
income.
Is it management she wants to move up into? What would
just,
moving up in mean
just,
to you?
You know, I guess probably management, you know, start the process of being a manager or supervisor.
Oh, I think you can
just
do that there.
A higher position.
Probably sooner than 4 years.
I think you can do that there. What state
okay.
do you live in? What state do you live
Florida.
In?
Florida.
Florida. Is your
mm-hmm.
in your? Forgive me for asking if it's too private, don't discuss it. But is your income yearly income above 50,000?
Yes, it's a little bit. Yeah, it's almost.
Is it?
A
yeah,
little bit
is
over
it,
that.
So is it below 60?
Yes, it is below 60.
So I'm hitting it about pretty center, pretty much.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So, okay, good. Because
we'll
I'm just getting going with the vibe. Now, I think you should dialogue with them. And
okay.
without causing, you know, don't get nasty and disturbing and demanding, but start to dialogue with them and say, look, I've given you 14 years of service
mm-hmm.
and I really want to stay with this company. I have no
mm-hmm.
objection to staying and I want to stay
okay.
here and make it my home. I still have many good years of work ahead of me. I'm
right.
I'm only, 45 and
yep.
I want to stay. And
right,
I
and
want
she's
to
actually
talk
on a multiple. I just realized that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Yeah.
So you gotta start the dialoguing before you
okay.
start to search and carve yourself into some new area. You're not really in a cycle.
Oh, I don't want to move. Yeah, I don't want a new job. I was just trying to see if I'm gonna be there to retirement. Or am I gonna go
yeah.
up a little bit?
I think so.
Okay. Okay.
I think so. I think
okay.
so. And the place is in good standing. It's not financially in distress. So I think
no.
everything is moving forward. Yeah, I think you should start to carve out, with good effort and
okay.
Courtesy, start to carve out. You're going to be there. Stay there.
Okay. Okay, I will.
But
okay.
but try to do move up, obviously. She wants to progress with
yeah,
her job.
Yeah, you might get up to around 65,000.
As manager?
Okay.
Maybe in time.
She might be,
yeah.
I mean, more. I would think more.
It might in time. I'm not talking about right now. In time,
mm-hmm.
you might
yeah.
get up, Shante.
Oh.
Not right now, but, you know, you might
okay.
be up 65,000 in 3 or 4 years. But,
okay.
But right now, center on staying. That's where we think you're going to be.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, guys.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Okay.
Good luck. You're
bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So we can talk a little bit, wait for a caller, and continue here.
Yeah.
Continue. So obviously the higher self is separate from the ego.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
But the problem is that the ego, if expressed in a negative way or in a lower manner, can get in the way of the conversation between the ego and the higher self. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't. If one is sheer contemplation, meditation, the attitude of what the spiritual gifts are, and has a strong affinity with the spirit, it isn't too hard to separate the spirit from the ego. We're not addressing those people who understand it completely. we're addressing maybe those people who don't understand it or who think they understand it and have now gone to a place of education where they're understanding that the spirit is something exclusive of the ego. And we have, so we define ego. The ego is anything that your heart desires, anything that your brain desires, anything that your body desires. These are aspects of the ego. Now, that doesn't mean, well, I'm going to go join Greenpeace and save the whales because I'm a spiritual person. That's still ego. That's still being filtered through the ego because it's a high aspiration.
There's but no, it's still a desire. That. It's still a desire.
Desire. The ego lifts us off the planet. The ego, I mean the spirit, the higher self.
I'm beginning to like this
conversation. Well, the ego does lift us. We got to the moon through the ego got us on the moon.
Yeah.
The ego's got us on Mars. But the idea of the spirit, you're talking, you have to think that you're having a dialogue with God and there's no earth involved in it. There's only the essence of your expression in the attitude of love, in the attitude of the concept of the awareness of God, the awareness of creation, and the thought that your soul is going to be handed back to God, not your body, but your soul. And your soul is going to carry up the content of a thought content, not so much a work content, but a thought content.
Okay, so let's talk about the Greenpeace ego desire. Because if someone being on the planet and being of service, having goals that are of a higher nature, even though they're still connected to the ego, I mean, are going to gain more spiritual points than a goal that is not connected to a higher purpose. So the person that is dedicating his or her life to whatever Peace Corps or Greenpeace, saving whales, you know, bettering the planet, is going to have more spiritual points than a person who says, well, I'm here and I want to amass great wealth for myself.
They're going to have more earthly points. Their earth walk will give them a higher quality of earthly points. So and that can apply to the spirit, but what if that Greenpeace person doesn't believe in God, doesn't really like people?
True. Yes.
You know, you have all these other conditions that can disturb, but we're still not, we haven't lifted up, we haven't gotten off the gravity of the earth. It's like saying, well, you know, I'm a jet fighter.
True, but let's assume, I should rephrase it. Let's assume that both of those individuals are going to come back to the planet. The one will come back with more points on the earth and maybe a higher consciousness. So ultimately, in that progression of lives, can reach a higher spiritual place. And it's true. You're right. There may not be a connection to anything spiritual, even though you're, you know, self-sacrificing in some ways on an earth level.
Right. I mean, karma is admixture. Just like our atmosphere is, our planet is a mixture of principles, conditions, morals, actions. It can be good and bad, a mixture of that. You weigh it out. There's a certain percentage, a certain scale, a certain average. It all gets wrapped up into the content of work, of earthly endeavor, earthly action. So we can a karma can have a past life murder in it. It can have a past life saving somebody. You know, we have doctors that do great work, and then we have doctors that do great work and also abuse their patients. There's an admixture in our universe. Our consciousness is constantly split into,
or even, you know, good and bad. Doctors that do great work and then cheat on their wives or abandon their families.
Yeah, any possible scenario, that's true. But that's the content of the soul, because if the soul doesn't transcend the earth and is released from the earth entirely, what the soul does with all of the works of its past lives and whatever gets processed back into the planet, into another body form, and continues the work at hand, given the fact that the averages may change, they may vary, they can go up, they can go down. Every race is new, but it has contingencies of its past life races. So it's like a relay race runner. You belong to a team, and your race is contingent on how the other previous runners were running. Those previous runners in karma were you. You're all one team. And this effort now is in the hands of the current occupation.
And that's why it's so difficult for people with a lower consciousness to understand why they're in the conditions that they are in now. You know,
yeah,
which
I mean,
is common, you know, why is this happening? No, I mean, you know, for anybody.
Right. It's not that one has a higher concept and knows more than the other, but there is an evolving sense of consciousness on the planet. There are geniuses, gifted people who would think our conversation is nonsense and does not consider anything regarding the soul or the spirit. They might bring it down to a form of ethics or following laws or things like that. But in terms of karma and past lives and your soul's going to be judged, they would call this absolute poppycock. It's nonsense. As opposed to those who might believe that, yes, there is some spiritual conversation that has to be addressed and examined, because there is a dialogue after life that one's going to be responsible for.
Okay. I sorry to stop you here, but we do have a caller that's been waiting for a few minutes. So we're going to take that caller and then we'll get back to it. Okay. 562, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question about love. When do you see me finding someone for love?
Okay, Yvonne, what's your birth date?
August 14th, 1984.
I wrote down an 8. So August 14th, 1984, and you've got two of them, 4, 5, 13, 23, and 12. She's a 35-8, so that's your master number, actually. I wrote that down. 35-8. And you are born in 1984, which makes you, you're going to be 34 this year? Wait, no.
Yeah. 35 this year.
35.
I'm already 34.
She's 30, you're 34 right now, so you're coming up on a change this year, Yvonne.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, 35 years old is your change. You haven't reached that age yet, but perhaps a relationship now. Have you had some unsuccessful relationships thus far? I'm imagining yes.
Yes, I have a lot of them.
A lot of them. Have you ever been, have you ever been married or always single?
I've been married, but it wasn't like a real marriage. It was just to help someone out, kind of say. I know that's not a good thing to say, but.
No, I mean, you know, people do for different reasons.
It wasn't a real marriage. I'll just say that.
So you were married. When did you get married? What year? Do you remember?
I was 23 and got divorced at 25.
23 to 25, married. Okay, so, but that wasn't like a real romance.
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Simple. I think you're at 35, somewhere in the midst of 35, you can be married. You will be married again.
Or at least
so
meet the person
she's going to be married to in that year.
Coming
and,
up.
You see, you have 814, but look at that 84, and then it transforms into 84, but the 19 is a 1. 1-9-10-1-0-1. And so.
She's probably like going, what are you talking about? I know, but you're not explaining it very well.
19, 1 plus 9 is 10.
In the
1
century.
1 plus 0 is 1. So you have a 1 in there, an 8, and a 4. That reflects your 814 on your month and day. And what this means for you, and your master number is 8, what this means for you is that the first marriage was karma, just a karmic situation. The second one's going to be more transcendent. You will be married, I think, maybe by the time you're 36. You go in increments
great.
Of 8, so 30, 32. You had a change at 32, but there's a 3-year difference. So what were you doing at 32?
32, just staying home, raising a little baby. I just had a baby at 31.
Oh, you have a child, and that's not from the marriage. This is from somebody else.
No, someone else.
Yeah, you know, you've had a hazardous track line of relationships because nothing's been actualized yet. You had a child without being married. You had a marriage that was arranged for convenient levels to help somebody out. You haven't actualized a marriage and a love that sits together. You haven't done that yet. I think at 36 is when you're going to do it. But I see two children. What, are you planning to have another one, or do you have two children?
No, I only have one, but I would like another one.
So you're going to have another child. So you're going to be, okay, so here's the prediction in pencil. Married by 36 and a child from the marriage.
Okay.
Right. Yvonne, where are you located exactly? I think you're
in Long Beach, California.
That's where we are, so that's funny.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Same area code, 562, which is a public number.
Okay. Well, do you have an Aunt Rose anywhere?
A Rose?
A person named Rose. Did you ever know anybody named Rose?
Yes, I do. My mother.
Huh?
Okay. So that just came in, right? So that's a form of
validation
for you.
Oh, okay.
What a validation means, Yvonne, is that the information given on the show today is sound and correct. So that's why that validation came in of the rose.
Oh, okay.
So you're being advised.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So keep us posted.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much, you guys.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Rose can follow us. She should.
Rose.
I mean,
Rose.
Yvonne. Well, Rose can do it too. Anyway, Yvonne. Sorry, that Rose stuck in my head.
I always think of Yvonne DiCarlo, you know, the lady on the Munsters.
Oh, the I think of Yvonne Elliman, which is like a 1970s singer.
Oh, yeah.
I think she sang in Jesus Christ Superstar, actually. The original. Anyway.
Well...
how
many minutes do we got?
About 10.
So this business of the higher self extracting the essence of the higher self from the ego of the body, which occupies the ego of the mind, which has all kinds of good things in it, good and bad. We challenge our listeners to analyze their life without any thought of ego in it. And so you have to get into a thought form as to how your relationship is with God and what kind of dialogue. I mean, in my estimation, you're not going to go up to God and go, well, I did this on the planet and I did this and God's going to go, oh, I'm so impressed. Did you? Oh, really? It's not so much the works. That's important. We're not minimizing
the work, especially if the work
is important,
right? Especially if they get into a higher essence if they're self-sacrificing, but still they're works of the planet, as you were saying earlier when we had that example.
I guess you have to concretely suggest faith and love. I mean, even these words are inadequate because they're actually reduced to, you get them as soon as you start.
The human language
is
a construct of yeah,
obstacles.
The earth. Well, and the earth. But, you know, when people, often we have people that call and they want to somehow interlink their egos into their spiritual walk. Like, you know, I want to be, I don't know, I'm trying to give an example. A painter, for instance. I want to be a painter and my works to be infused with this spiritual essence that inspires people and uplifts them. And, you know, when you talk about doing something like art, which is of the ego, and trying to enwrap it in something spiritual, it really dilutes spirituality. You cannot do it, unfortunately, for those of us who are in the arts, it's separate. It's lower self and higher self. And really getting into the higher self, you can't
the ego has a higher self, but it hasn't
well, that's
left
what I was saying.
The planet. The aspect of spirituality is something that you can mark it, you can define it, because it formulates into an attitude of words that reflects something much higher. Some of our great spiritualists that speak on a higher level, you know, whether it's Christ or Buddha or whatever it may be, and we're not just talking about like people like Aristotle, who has a certain philosophy, but Aristotle was also reduced by the attitude of ego, because he hated women, women were inferior. He just thought they were inferior. So one of our great thinkers,
he was correct.
One of our great thinkers, you know, and there are people who are of very high attitudes. Even Mother Teresa had a certain attitude about the poor that reflected that they were a blessing because they proved that suffering. So, you know, there was this confusion of thought that even our highest spiritualist,
or those we consider to be the highest spiritualists, and obviously Mother Teresa did a great deal for the poor, but there's like a lot of, if you start to look into, I think there's a book actually about about her that
examines
the darker side.
One of our great peacemakers, Gandhi, slept with young women naked at different parts in his life. I mean, girls. So there is a certain attitude of respect and admiration that we can have for our greatest thinkers. But when you get into an attitude of pure spirituality, where someone is nearly flawless, and we're all human, so we're all susceptible to certain lower energies, and it's hard to elevate oneself. Christians will say, well, you got to do it through Christ. That's the only way you can be washed clean. Others may use another term. They may use Buddha. They may use Allah. There's different. It doesn't matter what some people recognize that the human is flawed, but we're getting to the idea that if we are human beings trying to attain an aspect of being in a higher thought energy, then think of it as almost like a monk. You're devoid of the earth, and you speak constantly of spiritual things. You're constantly in meditation. You've released yourself from the pleasures of the planet, and you are contemplating stepping into God's spirit as soon as you die.
So the challenge,
not like, you know, like, oh, you die and then you go to God and, you know, rock-a-bye baby. Not like that. It's a different attitude that you have approached the consciousness of something so high that it's well above the earth and all of its problems and conflicts.
And what becomes challenging about that, of course, is the individual problems and conflicts, survival, relationship,
all of those I mean,
aspects make it more challenging to.
Can we get to dangerous grounds and say the highest spiritualists are not married? They're just in a high state of consciousness, and they live that way. I can't do it. I mean, that doesn't say much for the rest of us, but it does peak itself to an element of what the spirit really is. And it's in the constant motion of spiritual dialogue and spiritual thought and this higher meditation. And, you know, that doesn't mean that all of us have to be there. Where we go after we leave this planet, that's not for Chris and I to decide. And we aren't suggesting that the only way to elevate and be off the planet is to be a pure spiritualist.
Well, how can that be? I mean, you know, if everybody was a pure spiritualist, I mean, what would our
there'd be about
world
five people
like
in heaven? we don't know. We don't know. But what we do is we try to strive for excellence. We try to get a conversation going to at least amounts to some position of thinking that might bring more nourishment to the soul and the spirit than to the body itself and all the energies of the body. Surely, Chris and I, we believe, you know, animals, we want to save animals, we have pleasures on the planet. We're not the purists that we're speaking of, but what we're doing is we're analyzing and trying to conceptualize what it is to be totally in spirit without ego. Very difficult situation to go through, because the common denominator is you find yourself falling back into the ego, and it's tricky, very tricky. But, you know, we haven't, Chris and I haven't published a book of spiritual sayings, and nor will we ever. I mean, to be a pure spiritualist is something that is far above and beyond what we have encountered in this lifetime. But still, it's not a judgment of as to where the soul is going to go after one dies, but it is the concept of trying to analyze in the body what is the spirit.
Right, and then trying to strive to that place of perfection, even though it's very difficult to reach that point, even for people who dialogue in spirituality on the subject matter of spirituality on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even the metaphor, the gifts of the spirit, has its ego implications. But still, I think that there's a terminology that when one says love, it's a gappy love. It's love without any sense of bodily nourishment, so to speak. It's a love that elevates above and beyond any individual pleasure. And that's hard to really achieve, that sense, that purity. And for those who have, there be people like this, we worship them, these people, because they
well,
have
we don't
such
worship
an
people.
Essence.
We don't worship people.
Well, not worship in
we,
that regard.
We hold them in very high esteem.
Corrected. We hold them in high esteem because they, and what usually happens is people like this, they become corrupt. They have their havens and they have their harems and they have their groups of groupies, and they end up sleeping with this and with that one. And oh, the disappointment is so devastating. But when the, our cat feels that way too. But where is that pure human being? You know, where is that pure human being? I'm sure Christians are going to say it's Jesus. Jews are going to say it's God, or maybe the Messiah coming.
God wasn't human.
In the essence.
Maybe Moses.
In the essence. Even Moses was not able to really look directly at God. And when he did, he turned it to almost a flame.
Well, I'm just trying to, reference a Jewish
Buddha,
person in history.
You
were saying, yeah, anyway.
We're not here to discriminate. But the purpose here is to give thought to spirit and to give thought to what is actually the gifts of the spirit.
All right, we're back on the air on Friday, and perhaps we'll have a new topic to discuss that day. Hope to hear from you then, everybody. Bye.